Welcome to the ASA Biopharmaceutical Section podcast. We are your hosts, Amy Lalonde and Christina Nurse, and we are happy to have some very special guests on our podcast today that we will introduce you to. But first, we must apologize for our long hiatus. Christina welcomed a baby in March, and I welcomed a baby in July, and podcasting kind of got shifted to the back burner. But here we are today. First, let me remind you that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are not representative of Eli Lilly, Takeda Pharmaceuticals, Johnson & Johnson, University of Maryland, School of Medicine, U.S. Census Bureau, and Pfizer. Today, we will discuss the statistical partnerships among academe, industry, and government, or the SPAG Committee. Our participants on the podcast today are Michelle Chardell of the University of Maryland School of Medicine, Scott Clark from Eli Lilly & Company, and Satyajit Roy Chowdhury from Pfizer. With that, I welcome all of you, and I'll turn it over to Christina.
Welcome to the podcast. Thank you all for joining us today. And so we'll kick off with the general question. What are your professional roles and your involvement with SPAG? And what have you gotten out of your involvement with the SPAG committee? Michelle?
Hi, I'm Michelle Chardell, and yes, my name rhymes on purpose. I'm a professor at the University of Maryland School of Medicine, so I do represent the academia sector. However, earlier in my career, I was an intramural scientist at the NIH, so I do have some government experience as well, and I am the 2023 chair of SPAG. In terms of what I've gotten out of SPAG, it has provided me the opportunity to meet statisticians working in other sectors and learning more about what are some of the barriers, the opportunities, and some of the strengths that can occur with this cross-collaboration research across sectors, and what are some ways that we can utilize the ASA infrastructure to help promote these activities.
Scott?
Yes, my name is Scott Clark, and while I'm representing Eli Lilly, I do have experience in both of the other sectors. Back in the mid-1980s and late 1980s, I worked a good bit with the government, both NIH NCI program, as well as the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, on a lot of statistics projects there. And then in the 1990s, I worked in academia and at Emory University, and saw a lot of problems from a different lens there. And then for more than 25 years, I've worked at Eli Lilly. So I've kind of had exposures to all sectors. And I guess one thing that has really inspired me relative to the SPAG work is really trying to foster these collaborations where I see improvements could be possible. Even from my academic days, where I wish that our academic programs better set up our students for success in industry and government jobs, to similar on the receiving end, working in industry, seeing how can we partner better with academia. Both of those things have been sort of experiences I had in my career, as well as the SPAG group, I think, enabling many of those things to happen in a much better way. So with that, I'll turn it back over.
Thank you, Scott. And Satyajit.
Hello, everybody. My name is Satyajit Roy Chowdhury. First of all, congratulations, Christina and Amy, for the new baby. I can imagine it's been a different life for sure. So I'm a statistician in Pfizer, and I'm on the industry side of representative of SPAG. So my experience throughout in my career was in industry. I started first as a statistician in a clinical trial, then moved towards the pharma research end. And now I work on a statistical research and innovation group in Pfizer. So being in industry and having exposed to a lot of working with industry academic collaborations, SPAG was a beautiful platform for me to, first of all, understand the broader aspects of these cross collaboration in various areas of statistics beyond biopharma, and also in the new era of AI and machine learning, how that's really coming into this. So it was a fantastic journey, and I'm also currently I'm a member, and I'm also be the vice chair of SPAG in 2020. With that, over to you, Christina.
Thanks, Dr. G, and thank you for the congratulations. It sure is different. Both Christina and I are not new to motherhood, but two is certainly more than one, and we all
yes,
know that.
It is.
So thank you for your introductions. We were hoping to learn a little bit more about the primary purpose and the makeup of SPAG for our listeners.
Yes, and we're happy to provide that. So our primary purpose on SPAG is to identify, lead, and promote initiatives that help foster statistical partnerships or collaborations that involve two or more entities across the academic, industry, and or government sectors. In order to accomplish this, we do have representation across those three industries. The makeup of the committee includes 9 members total, evenly split. So 3 from academia, 3 from industry, and 3 from government. And as you heard earlier, many of us do have experience across more than one sector, which we informally refer to ourselves as either the 2 FERS or the 3 FERS, where we can identify what some of those barriers are from that experience and to help break down those barriers. We know that many of us in the statistics community are natural collaborators. And one of the challenges is that we are often siloed within one sector, learning the norms. So we see our role on SPAG is to help break down these silos and enhance some of the understanding of the goals and opportunities across sectors as a way to help facilitate these collaborations.
Thank you, Michelle. And I love how you encourage the cross collaboration between the academia, industry, and government, and how you want to break down those silos. So what are some of the activities that SPAG does to sponsor to promote these collaborations?
So again, the great thing about having representation from the three different sectors is that we have a lot of ideas on what we can do to help serve our goal. Probably the flagship activity that we have is we sponsor the annual SPAG Award, which recognizes outstanding cross-sector collaboration and allows us the opportunity to lift that up. We do have a number of activities at JSM. So one of those is our SPAG-sponsored lunchtime speaker, and that's usually someone from at least one of the sectors who can highlight their experience and give a less technical, more practice-oriented type of talk about their experiences in these kinds of collaborations. We also do have a more formal activity at JSM, which is our SPAG-sponsored invited session. And we've been very fortunate to be able to highlight some very accomplished statisticians and their experiences in a more technical framework at cross collaboration or cross sector collaborations. We are enhancing our outreach activities. That includes podcasts such as this. In the past, we've had webinars, and we are planning one coming up. And this is along the lines of what Scott was mentioning about this pipeline of preparing students and also making sure that the students have the skills that are desired across different sectors. So we are planning one on internships that will highlight the needs of the different sectors. We publish AmSTAT news articles. Many of these are to highlight our SPAG Award winners. A number of years ago, we also published an AmSTAT news article that did highlight some of the activities going on in the biopharm section, in particular, the accomplishments of the safety working group as just a great example of utilizing that ASA infrastructure to have a successful and productive working group. We've also launched our new Friends of SPAG email list that is available on our microsite at community.amstat.org/spag/home. One of our other activities going on at JSM is we also have a community table where we have a poster that provides some of our latest activities, links to our new Friends of SPAG list and our website more broadly so folks can learn more about us. And another relatively recent activity, and I'll give us a shout out to Satyajit for this, is to host a poster presentation at the Regulatory Industry Statistics Workshop.
Thank you. As you have heard that, I would just add one or two quick sentences. I mean, the poster was very well received in the Regulatory Industry Workshop this year. So this is the second year we are actually doing this. And people stop by to understand, because as you both know, that how much we have in within pharma, that collaboration between regulatory as well as academia in different working groups. So people really stop by to learn more about SPEG and to understand that what are the opportunities to really acknowledge this fantastic working group, this excellent collaborations we are having in different spaces. So I'm looking forward for more to have to bring SPEG more into our regulatory industry workshop space. Thank you.
Thanks, Satrajit. Before we move on, can we talk a little bit about how people might get involved? It sounds like you have an incredible body of work that your group puts on and participates in. What would be the best way for people who are interested to get more involved in the committee?
The best way is, again, to check out our microsite, sign up for our new Friends of SPEG email list. We're just getting it off the ground, but our goals for this list are to help promote and disseminate information about some of our activities. We would also love to use it as a platform to solicit ideas from the community, because our goal is to serve the community's needs. And letting us know what kind of activities would be most beneficial would certainly be great. The new Friends of SPEG email list is also a wonderful way to let us know, for example, if you would be interested in serving as a lunchtime speaker or engaging in some outreach activities. And once again, the website where you can sign up for that is at community.amstat.org/SPAIG, which is SPAIG /home.
Great. Thank you so much, Michelle. One of the biggest needs in our community typically is tackling technical problems. Can you tell us a little bit how SPAIG can foster more collaboration between academia and industry and government in order to do this?
Sure, Amy. I'll be glad to touch on that a little bit. I think you're right that this is a big need. And really, I think it starts from just understanding what the different sectors have to offer here. And it really starts with, I think often industry and government have many technical problems. They're often sort of data rich. They sometimes lack capacity or capabilities to make the advances, but they do have some funding. And this sort of really naturally aligns with the academics who often have the technical capabilities, but they're in search of more meaningful examples, data, and funding sources. So that connection seems like it's a natural place to have a win-win if we could bring the problems from the industry and government and to the academics who can help with those problems and to align on that. The challenges there are sometimes some legal issues that we want to be sure that SPEG or Friends of SPEG can help us overcome, which are sometimes around intellectual property. As we work toward agreements, we do need to sort of resolve that. I think in the statistics world, there's less of an issue on intellectual property and advancing methods, but we do want to be sure that the ideas around treating our collaborators not just as service providers and for academics not just seeing industry or others as a funding source, but really seeing this as a partnership. And finally, I think the culture there of that we want to see happen in these technical collaborations is just appreciating the other viewpoint of we in industry are often trying to advance methods for business needs, but we need to look at it beyond that of, hey, advancing these methods can have other uses, not just our business need. And similarly, for the academics, that recognizing advancing the science, in a meaningful way can even have it have more impact than it just, hey, we just advance a method for the method's sake. So appreciating those diverse viewpoints is another valuable aspect of that. But if you look at these aspects, aligning on these things, overcoming those barriers, and then sharing these cultural viewpoints can really create a win-win environment on these technical collaborations. And that's what we really hope SPEG to do. Thanks,
Yeah,
Amy.
thank you, Scott. I completely agree with you on, how funding can be a natural bridge, but also appreciating the diversity of thought in tackling these technical problems. So thank you for sharing that. And to dive a little bit more into this concept of bridging collaborations, internships are a natural bridge between sectors. So how can those be expanded?
So from industry perspective, of course, interns are very precious, and they're precious in many aspects. One is definitely we get to work, get an opportunity via intern to interact with the world of academia, where basically we see the technical niche to kind of a mix it with the practical problem to solve things more elegantly. But also they are our future. Basically, where we generate the future generation statistician, how we train them, how we basically bring them into this world of statistics, of reality statistics coming out from school, when the world is not only writing papers or writing, it's actually coming up and solving business problems. So this internship was actually played a very win-win situation for both industry and both for academia, for students. And I guess it's same for industry, government in both aspects. However, there are many avenues that sometimes people complain that about internship periods are often small. They're typically 3 to 4 months in both in industry or in government. Sometimes when we begin with that and it's a it, People, we have seen students coming back for internship, more than one internship. We keep the door open to continue that collaboration. However, there are other ways of expanding collaboration. We have seen, as Scott mentioned, many times we actually, the student go back and we built up that relationship with the advisor, where student actually bring back the problem as a part of their PhD thesis. And that's how we built up the collaboration together. And sort of expand that problem from both, which solves the industry and as well as academic need in terms of statistical problem solving. And in addition to that, in many of the industry now offer fellowship program, which are a little bit more expanded programs, kind of it offered during either a full semester or even for a year in some cases. And they then basically the opportunity is more further, basically we can really collaborate for a longer time and plan for much more future activities to build up in eventually writing on a paper presentation, or presenting the problem in different conferences together as a joint authorship. So that kind of a built up the relationship from the student perspective and also from the industry or government perspective also. In a much more firm way. And I think it's always the students start bringing the new ideas, new fresh minds when we think about one problem in one way. So they are really a precious part of the collaboration across different sectors.
Thanks, Dr. G. I know my internships were so valuable to my overall grad school experience and really shaped my thinking going into my career. Now, can I shift gears a little bit and have you guys tell us about the SPAG Award and maybe perhaps give some examples of past SPAG Award winners for our listeners in the event that they would like to nominate or apply for the award?
Absolutely. So in brief, the SPAG Award is given annually to recognize outstanding multi-sector collaborations where statistics has played a central role. And as far as ASA awards are concerned, one of the unique aspects of the SPAG Award is how it recognizes outstanding collaborations between the organizations while also recognizing the key individual contributors who came together to make this happen. And we've been very fortunate to have such high quality nominations. Our most recent winner in 2023 was a collaboration between the University of North Carolina, Merck, and the National Cancer Institute. And they were awarded for outstanding and impactful research at the focus of clinical trials and outcomes research to help set the standard for academic, industry, and government collaboration. So this was really a great example that involved all three sectors. The previous year in 2022 was a collaboration between Harvard University and a nonprofit industry partner called Partners in Health. And this really exemplified the non-industry sector as an important part of industry that's also eligible for the award. And they were awarded for their COVID-19 multi-country research group, which convened statisticians, epidemiologists, and program implementers for data-driven responses to COVID in 8 countries across the globe. In 2021, we had a very difficult time making our decision through all of our high-quality nominees. So we ended up giving the award to 2 collaborations. The first one was an award that involved Carnegie Mellon University, the Centers for Disease Control, and Google. So this was another, you know, 3-sector collaboration, and they called their collective group Delphi. And what they implemented was something called the COVIDcast project. And their objective was for commitment to the theory and practice of epidemic tracking for COVID and forecasting through building and modeling unique public health data streams. So this was really at the interface of statistics and data science. The second awarded collaboration was between the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, Duke University, International Drug Development Institute, and National Cancer Institute. So again, 3 sectors coming together with multiple institutions and organizations. And they called their group the Intermediate Clinical Endpoints in Prostate Cancer, or ICECAP Initiative. And they were awarded for building a statistically sound and solid foundation for identifying surrogate endpoints and collaborating with academics, industry, and government. So we can see that there's a wide variety of objectives and structures for these kinds of collaborations.
Thank you, Michelle, and thank you for sharing those examples. It just highlights the power of collaboration, how impactful we can be when we work together. And will you please tell our listeners, when are the nominations due for the award and how a person can apply for the award?
Sure. So nominations for the 2024 SPIG Award will be due on March 1st, 2024. We do start soliciting for the award in earnest, usually around January. However, you are welcome to check out our website where nominations can be submitted using a nomination form at community.amstat.org/SPIG, which is SPAIG/home.
Thank you, Michelle, and thank you all for joining us today. We've learned a lot about SPIG and the impact that you all are having in our statistics community. And so we are excited to see who our next SPIG Award winner will be and what impact the winner will have on our profession. And in fact, Amy, I think it would be a great idea if we reach out to the SPIG winner and interview them on our podcast. And as we ask all of our guests, are there any topics that you would like to hear about on our podcast? And we can start with you, Michelle.
So first, I want to say thank you to you, Christina and Amy, for having us on your podcast and hosting us. And certainly the topics that I would love to hear from on behalf of your listeners are, what are some ways that academics can get involved in biopharm statistics?
And Scott?
Sure. Well, first, let me echo thanks to Christina and Amy. Thanks very much for having us, and best of luck in your next round of motherhood here as well to both of you. I think for the biopharm section, it's really thinking about these collaborations, I think, are something that can really benefit the entire section. And can really make more bold advances. And so I would love to just hear about how can these cross-sector collaborations help the biopharm community, and hear more about that, more examples that we may not always rise to the level of being a big SPIG Award winner, but Maybe there are some smaller wins and stories that would be great to tell in this format. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. I think we'll rely on you guys to send us some recommendations as the award nominations come in. What about you, Satrajit?
Once again, I echo the same. Thank you, Emmy and Christina, for this wonderful podcast. And I mean, I have been involved, I guess, when this podcast actually started from BioPharm section, and it has been done a phenomenal job for last almost, 12 to 13 years? I mean, 12 years, I guess. I forget the exact time, but I think you guys have been done really phenomenal and vast breadth that you covered. And I echo with Scott. I mean, with the time coming, I really wanted to learn more how pharma is coping with collaboration with different sectors, especially with the new science like AI and ML are coming more and more into our space. The discussions is happening almost every day, how that can actually save us. So getting learning from other sectors and also with experts, having some podcast on that context would be really useful for the users, I believe.
Thanks, Satrajit, and all of you guys. These are fantastic ideas. I think that we'll never have an industry where we are not subject to change at any given moment. And I think that's probably the most exciting part of our career. So I want to thank you all again for providing us with more information on SPAG and your award. I hope that this encourages folks to apply, to nominate. And I hope that perhaps more people get involved with your group. You guys are doing fantastic work and clearly are very busy and providing meaningful opportunities for people to collaborate. So I thank you again for your time, for preparing for this, for giving us some exciting topics to look forward to. Our nominations are due, if someone can remind listeners.
March 1st, 2024.
Thank you. Don't want to get that wrong with mom brain. And for our listeners, please tune in for our next episode. Thank you all so much, and until next time.